Beloved congregation of the Lord and children, the new school year has just begun, and that means you are learning many new things and new words and new phrases. Well, your parents and grandparents have had to learn a lot of new phrases and terms in this past year too. Whoever would have thought that we would be saying things like coronavirus and COVID-19 and learning what crush the curve means and what social distancing is, and who in our lifetime has thought about quarantine and shutdowns of the economy? Whoever heard of mandatory face masks? In Ontario, that's happening. Do you know that this is not new? We think it's all new, but it isn't. Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, "There is nothing new under the sun." We'll see that this morning too, because in many ways, COVID-19 is similar to a disease that Jesus healed in our text. We'll see that as we go along. Our text this morning on Thanksgiving Day is Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. I'll read at this time verses 17 through 19. "And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Jesus and the 10 lepers. The healing of the 10, the gratitude of 1, and then a question. But where are the 9? Jesus and the 10 lepers. The healing of all 10. Verse 11 begins with a little phrase that occurs so often in Scripture, "and it came to pass." And I'm afraid we've gotten so used to reading that little phrase, "and it came to pass," and we just scoot on over it. And we don't stop to think that when it says that, it's talking about a real historical event. This really happened. It came to pass. It happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem. And at this point, our Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the final time in his life. In Jerusalem, he knows he will be falsely accused of crimes. He will be arrested. He will be tried in the courts of the Jews and of the Romans. He will be sentenced to death. He will be scorned and mocked and whipped, and they will spit on him, and they will punch his face, and they will crown him with thorns, and finally, they'll nail him to a cross where he will die a horrific death. And then some dear friends of his will place his body in a tomb on Good Friday. On an Easter Sunday, he will rise from the dead victorious. And 40 days later, he will ascend into heaven and be seated at God's right hand. And the history before us on this Thanksgiving Day happens on his way to Jerusalem. Knowing this, and some of you have been to Israel and you know that Galilee is in the north and Jerusalem is in the south. And between the two in Jesus' days was the land of Samaria. And the people who lived in Samaria were despised by the Jews because they were not a pure race. They likely had a Jewish father and a Canaanite mother. They were half-breeds. And their religious worship was a whole mixture of Jewish Jehovah worship and other gods. And the hatred of Jews and Samaritans was mutual. And then when people were traveling, it was not safe for a Jewish person to stay in Samaria or the other way around. So it's amazing how Jesus himself wound up in Samaria more often. It's that well-known time when he met the woman at the well in John chapter 4. at the village of Samaria called Sychar. And he told her everything she had done, how she had had 5 husbands and the one she had now was not her husband. And as a result of that testimony, many people were saved in Sychar. This time Jesus does not go into Samaria, but he's traveling along the border. He's heading south toward Jerusalem, but here he's moving west to east, and on his way he passed through the middle of Samaria and Galilee. He's most likely heading towards the Jordan River, and then he will go south to Jerusalem. And now Galilee is on his left and Samaria is on his right. And Jesus and his disciples are walking along this road. And there are villages along this road, border towns. Think of Sumas these days. And the people there made their living on travelers and business people. Mainly Jewish travelers going back from Judea to Galilee. They would come to those border villages. And verse 12, as Jesus entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood far off. Children, do you know what lepers are? They were people with a horrible disease. It was called leprosy. And it would start with a little scab somewhere or a white spot on your skin, maybe on your arm or maybe on your forehead. And then it would spread to other parts of your body. And eventually it would cause numbness in the area where it was. And so people couldn't even feel the pain there. And as that disease got worse and worse, then people's faces would be affected and parts of them would decay. On some people, their ears would fall off. And their fingers and their toes and their noses could be horribly disfigured. And it affected their voice box, so they would become very hoarse. And leprosy was almost always fatal. You read through the whole Old Testament, there are very few cases of a leper being healed. Think of Naaman, the Assyrian general, Miriam, the sister of Moses. A leprosy was highly contagious, just like COVID-19 is. Special measures would be taken, like isolation, like today. In Old Testament, the lepers were banished from their towns and their cities. They were outcast. They couldn't live in their family home. They couldn't attend a worship service. They were outside. They were quarantined, just like is happening today. When someone came close to them, they would have to put their hand in front of their mouth and cry, "Unclean, unclean," like our face masks today. That's why it says here they stood afar off. They could not come near. And in the Bible, this is considered a picture of a sinner outside of a relationship with God. So like that leper, you and I by nature are unclean, contaminated, infected with sin, outside of the communion with God, outside of God's people, quarantined from God. And unless there's a miraculous intervention, sin is always fatal. There's only one cure for leprosy, and that would be a miraculous healing. And there's only one cure for sin, and that is a miraculous new birth. Well, Jesus meets these 10 lepers, and listen to what they say. They lifted up their voices. That in itself is amazing. 10 of them, all together, lifting up their voices, crying out, shouting loudly. That's amazing because their voices would be hoarse from this leprosy. And yet they put everything into this shout. And what is it that they shout? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That tells us that they knew Jesus could help them. Jesus could heal them. His fame has been spreading all over. Also what has happened in Luke chapter 5, where we read of a man who was full of leprosy, seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy departed from him. And I'm sure that these 10 have heard about that man too. And here the 10 lepers cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They call Jesus by his proper name. Jesus, Savior, Master. That's a Greek term for a person whom they value very highly. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Pity us. Show us kindness. Show us concern. Help us out of pity for us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I wonder how Jesus will respond. Will he have mercy on them, you think? When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Notice two things there. He saw them and he spoke to them. Jesus saw them. When we say, well, of course he saw them, they're right there. But it means more than just seeing him with the physical eye. Jesus saw them as they really were, not just as men who had leprosy, but as people who needed his divine help. Otherwise, they were helpless and hopeless. Jesus sees them as he sees every sinner who cries to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. He also sees little children who pray to him, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he doesn't just see them. He speaks to them. He said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. That's not what they asked for. What a strange thing to say. Why not say to them, be healed? Or like he said to that one leper, I will, be thou clean. Why does he say, go show thyself unto the priests? Why? Because in the Old Testament leprosy laws, the only person who could declare a leper healed or cleansed was the priest. They were the Old Testament health inspectors. They were the only ones who could administer the test, just like today's COVID test that comes back negative or positive. They were the only ones who could say, you are no longer a leper. And only after they pronounced you healed could you rejoin society. Now these lepers would know immediately what Jesus meant by this. The only time you would tell a leper to show himself to the priest is if you thought he was healed or if you knew he was healed. But these lepers right now are not healed. They're as leprous as they have been for quite some time. So what will they do? As long as they stand right where they are, they are not healed. Their leprosy remains. So they all decide to go in obedience to Jesus to show themselves to the priesthood. And they begin to walk towards Jerusalem. That would be a journey of about 4 days. And if we would follow those lepers as they began to walk, we would see what happened. And it came to pass. There's that little saying again. And it really happened that as they went, they were cleansed. We don't know how long after they began to walk towards Jerusalem, but it seems it was very soon. They were cleansed. The leprosy left them. Their skin is restored to them as smooth as a baby's skin. No doubt about it. They were healed on their way to the priests. Now, we would say, these were men of faith. And they had a faith. They believed Jesus could heal them. They expressed their belief by calling Him Jesus and Master and pleading with Him, have mercy on us. They put their faith into action by going to the priests. They had what we call miraculous faith. The belief that someone can perform a miracle on you. And it's a wonderful thing. It's amazing that these men were healed. But as we will see, being healed from a disease is not enough to save your soul. There are many people today who believe that they are in God's favor and are saved because they prayed about something they really needed. Maybe a loved one was critically ill and they prayed for healing and God healed that person. And now they say, well, because the Lord God heard my prayers and healed my loved one, I'm in God's favor. God must love me to heal my loved one, to spare my son from death. And they speak more about that than about the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as wonderful as it is that the Lord grants healing to sick people, it is too short for your eternal soul. If that miracle does not move you to return to God, to return to the Lord Jesus Christ with gratitude and bowing in the dust before Him and glorifying Him and thanking Him, it is not enough. That's not enough on Thanksgiving Day. That brings us to our second thought. The first thought was the healing of all 10. And the second thought is the gratitude of one. Of those 10 lepers. You think about these 10 lepers. 9 of them are Jewish men. One of them is a Samaritan. And their leprosy has brought them together despite their nationalities, despite their cultural barriers. That happens more often. Here in this little camp of lepers, they get along just fine. And all 10 of them are on their way to the temple in Jerusalem. And all 10 of them are healed on the way. They could see it clearly. They could feel it in their bodies. And they would look at each other. Say, look, I'm healed and you are too. And yet there's a difference among them. A difference made by grace. Yes, all 10 of them could clearly see they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, did 4 things that the other 9 did not do. He turned back, that's 1. With a loud voice, he glorified God, that's 2. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, that's 3, giving Him thanks, that's 4. We just take those one at a time, just briefly. He turned back. In the Bible, that's in other words for he repented. He turned back. On his way to Jerusalem, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. He returned. He went back to the point where he had just come from. He hadn't gone very far yet on his way to Jerusalem. But instead of continuing, instead of going to the priest to be declared clean, this one turned back. He came back to the place where Jesus had met them outside that village. back to the place where only recently he was leprous, back to the place where he had faced certain death maybe only a few hours ago, especially back to the place where Jesus had had mercy on him. And what is he doing as he returns? With a loud voice, he glorified God. Better translation here is, and glorifying God with a loud voice. This is an ongoing glorifying of God with a loud voice. And if we would have been there, we would hear him. His formerly hoarse voice, now very loud and clear, glorifying, shouting, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm healed. Glory be to God. He returned while praising God with a loud voice. And when he comes to the place where Jesus still is, verse 16, he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. What a display of humble thanksgiving and adoration. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, right there in the dust. A posture of worship, a place of an unworthy one before God. And beloved, that's the best place for a healed sinner to be, on your face at Jesus' feet. And what's he doing there? On his face at Jesus' feet. He fell down at his feet while giving him thanks. And you can just hear it, can't you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. First, he's glorifying God. Now he's thanking Jesus. That goes together. And maybe this man doesn't even realize at this point that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. What's most remarkable are the next words. And he was a Samaritan. Why is that so remarkable? Why does Luke mention that? Because to the Jewish readers of Luke, this would be unthinkable that a Samaritan would worship God. Because only Jews, after all, worship the true God. A Samaritan wouldn't know anything about this. And the Jews, on the whole, rejected Jesus. They would never have worshipped him. But Luke shows us that the church of Jesus Christ would include Samaritans. Outcasts. Despised ones. Only one of the 10 healed lepers came back to glorify God and thank Jesus. The Samaritan one. I'm going to skip verses 17 and 18 for now and come back to that in our third point. But I want to see Jesus' response personally to the one who came back. And what an amazing truth we learn from the lips of Jesus, the Son of God. Verse 19, he said unto him, that is the Samaritan, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Jesus looked down at the Samaritan, lying at his feet in the dust. The other Jews would have kicked him. Get out of here. Jesus looked there at this man, thanking him for his miraculous healing. And not only had Jesus healed him, now he addresses him directly, something that would have been unheard of for a Jewish rabbi to even look at a Samaritan. This one speaks to him. And he says two things to him. Arise, go your way, and your faith has made you whole. He says, stand up, get up, and be going. Be on your way. That man still had to go to the priests to be declared cleansed. Jesus tells him, as it were, you have work to do. Go to Jerusalem. Yes, you're right. Glorifying God and thanking me, it actually proves your faith in me. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And again, there's two things here. Jesus speaks of his faith and the fact that his faith has made him whole. So what is this faith that Jesus is talking about? Remember, faith is believing and trusting in someone. Faith is the substance of the things you hope for and the evidence of things not seen. That means that this Samaritan man, he had hoped to be healed and he had not yet seen it. And yet, he knew it was true. This man has faith. And we know that faith is a free gift from God. Ephesians 2, verse 8. And the Bible makes it clear that faith is what it is that connects sinners to God. And in the Christian faith, the object of that faith is always the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does the Lord Jesus say that this man's faith has done? He says, your faith has made you whole. Now, the Greek word that's used here has many different shades of meaning. And it goes from rescuing someone, to saving someone, to healing someone. And from the context, you have to try to determine which of these meanings it is. Now, all 10 of these lepers were made whole by miraculous faith. And yet Jesus says to this one only, thy faith hath made thee whole. And I take it to mean, not so much that your faith has healed you, that's what it did for the other 9 too, but that your faith has saved you. Not just your body, but your soul. That's the same way it's translated in Luke chapter 7. Jesus says to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. In Luke 18, Jesus says to the blind man after healing him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. The Dutch Bible translates our text that way too. Your faith has saved you. What does Jesus mean by that? Your faith has saved you. Well, it is by means of faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ that sinners are saved from the wrath of God against their sin, saved from eternal and spiritual death. In fact, by faith, believing in and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of receiving the eternal spiritual death they deserve, they receive eternal spiritual life by the grace of God through faith alone in Christ alone. So what was the evidence of this man's faith? What is it in our text that shows us that this is different from the other 9? Well, read the text. Unlike the others, only this one turned back, glorifying God, falling down at Jesus' feet, thanking him. That's the evidence of the faith that saves you. A life that returns to the Lord Jesus Christ, glorifying God, worshiping Jesus, thanking him for all his gifts. It tells us on Thanksgiving Day that you have never had Thanksgiving Day without the Lord Jesus Christ. That can't be. For it is only in Christ that we are made glorifying God, worshiping Jesus, thanking him for all his gifts. So Jesus healed all 10. Only one came back to give him thanks. And that raised the question for Jesus. Where are the other nine? We'll take a look at that after we sing. 377. Verses 1, 2, and 7. Oh, thank the Lord of love. Oh, thank the God of gods above. 1, 2, and 7 of 377. Between verse 16, where we read that the man fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan, and verse 19, and Jesus said to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has saved thee," we have the words of Jesus about the other nine lepers. Yes, all ten were cleansed, but only one returned to thank Jesus. And Jesus answering said in verse 17, "Were there not ten cleansed?" And if we were there, we would say, "Well, yes, of course, Jesus, all ten were cleansed." But Jesus has a follow-up question. He's not asking anyone in particular, so we could say he's asking us then. It's as if he says, "I healed 10 lepers, and only one of them came back. Where are the rest of them? Where are the nine?" And if we were there, we would say, "Well, Jesus, they're on their way to the priests, just like you told them. They're obeying the command of Jesus." And from what follows here, we learn that for the Lord Jesus Christ, strict outward obedience is not everything. We can obey Jesus' commands. We can obey the Ten Commandments outwardly. We can live clean lives. We can be blameless in society and yet not please Jesus. There's something else that's more important than outward obedience to the law. And that is an inward spirit of worship, giving glory to God. But where are the nine, says Jesus? there are not found that return to give glory to God, except this stranger. An alternative translation here is this: were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner? And that question comes to us this morning too, as a congregation. Where's the one who returned and gave thanks to God, glorifying God and thanking Jesus? And is he here? Jesus' question is, where are the other nine? This foreigner came back. He's not even a Jewish person. In our context, maybe we say he's not even a church member. The sign at the temple in those days read, "Let no foreigner enter within the screen and enclosure surrounding the sanctuary." That's what the Jews on the whole had in mind for the Samaritans. And Jesus says, this Samaritan came back and he came to glory, give glory to God. What's going on here? Why does he ask these questions in this way? Why does Jesus always come with these probing questions? Doesn't he know? In John 2 verse 25 it says, Jesus knew what was in man. He knows where those nine are. So he's not asking for his own sake, as if he didn't know, and maybe somebody could please tell him. But he's asking the question for the sake of his disciples, and for the sake of all the other people standing there, and for our sakes, as we consider this history on Thanksgiving Day 2020. Like in the history of these 10 lepers, we are all so richly blessed, living in the lap of luxury we are. No one here lacks any of the necessities of life. We're all equally blessed, way beyond what we need. Yes, it's true. Some are going through afflictions. Others have hidden crosses. I want to minimize none of that. But the truth is, beloved, anything above hell is more than we deserve. And yet, when we consider what we deserve, no one can complain. No one suffers hunger. Our homes are warm now. They were cool in the summertime. There's plenty in the cupboards. We have numerous Bibles in our homes and in our cars. We may attend the worship services. We have opportunities for meeting together with the Lord's people in Bible study and prayers meetings. We have a church family that cares for each other. Just think with me of all the believers in this congregation. People of faith, by God's grace alone, on Thanksgiving Day, we recognize we are what we are only by God's grace. We are in Christ by faith. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. His Holy Spirit is in us. We are justified. We are declared righteous on the basis of Christ's righteousness alone. We are right now being conformed to the image of the Son of God by His Holy Spirit. In the life of sanctification, we depend on that Holy Spirit daily to supply and apply the benefits of Christ and all we have ever contributed. And all we ever do contribute is stained with sin. How amazing then is the grace of God in the life of a sinner. What cause we have to come glorifying God today, worshiping Jesus, thanking Him. And yet, including myself, I have to ask, how many of us are in our right place on Thanksgiving Day? Maybe we're sitting here already thinking about the big Thanksgiving Day dinner with our families. That's wonderful. An amazing blessing. But is that what it's all about? Is it not turning back to Jesus, glorifying God, falling on our faces at Jesus' feet, thanking Jesus? That's the place to be, dear believers. That's where we learn true thanksgiving. But if you're like me, we are so busy living life, meeting deadlines, going about our business, that we soon forget where we came from. Let's not forget. Others are so busy striving to get better, so busy striving to be holy, so working so hard to be good that we soon forget where we began. That's not where we began. On our faces, at Jesus' feet. When we forget our starting point, our Lord Jesus and His free grace, we will go off course. We will always end up depending on our own strength. We will go in the direction of trying harder, working harder, being more diligent, being more dedicated, spending more time. Or in the direction of growing careless in our lifestyle and getting lazy as Christians and moving away from the fountain and secretly thinking, though we would not dare to say it out loud, well, I'm saved anyway, so I'm okay. What could it hurt? And either way is oh so dangerous for Christian people. It leads to a life of thanklessness, because all the focus is on me. Thanklessness, ingratitude, and waxing cold. On Thanksgiving Day, it's a good time to turn back to where we started with the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. Turn back, glorifying God, falling down at the feet of Jesus, thanking Him. Not thanking Him like the Pharisee. Remember what he said? I thank you, Jesus, that I'm not like other sinners. I'm not as bad as they are. But like a tax collector. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Coming back, thanking Jesus. Coming to Jesus like the woman came, the woman caught in adultery. The one to whom He said, neither do I condemn you. Your faith has saved you. Go and sin no more. Go in my strength, with my Holy Spirit in you. But always remember to return, glorifying God, falling at His feet, thanking Him, and saying, especially on Thanksgiving Day, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Will that be what your and my Thanksgiving Day will be like today? Amen. Let's pray. O Lord God Almighty, that probing question comes to us from the lips of our Lord Jesus. Where are the nine? Only one came back, glorifying God. Lord, we pray that this may not be true of us, that only one out of ten came back, but that by thy grace, all of us would be this day coming back, glorifying God, falling down at the feet of Jesus, thanking Jesus for his amazing grace. Lord, feed our souls with him, the bread of life. Grant us a good day together with our families. And Lord, we pray that we would use this opportunity to speak well of the Lord. Not only giving thanks for outward blessings, though they are undeserved too. We are unworthy of them. But Lord, that we wouldn't stop there. That we would speak with our children and our grandchildren of the amazing grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for those who are strangers to grace, who do not love the Lord. Let this be the day of thy sovereign good pleasure to intervene in their lives with thy word and thy Holy Spirit, bringing them to this place where they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. We know, O Lord, that those who do will go home justified, like the tax collector. Bless us, Lord, be with this congregation. Supply all their needs. We pray.